by God's grace, I get to stand here this moment, and you and I get to gather together in this group. What a beautiful church group that has been gathered together today, and he's the one who's done it. He is the one who is doing it, and let's give him honor and praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for gathering us together. And, oh Lord God, I do ask you that ultimately throughout every part of this church service today, the singing, the opening of the scriptures, the giving, the fellowship, and all, that you would be worshiped. You're worthy of our worship. Oh, Father God, I thank you for Jesus Christ who gave his all for us, who shed his blood on Calvary's cross for the remission of our sins. As God, he died physically in our place and suffered as we should suffer, and yet without sin. And victorious over the grave, rose again, just as your word says, on the third day. And whosoever believes in him should not perish eternally, but have everlasting life. Father, I want that for everyone here today. Father God, I ask you that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word, and that the Holy Spirit would work in us as we gather together. I thank you, O Lord God, for your grace, which is beyond measure. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like to ask everyone to stand and pick up your Bible, take it to hand, open it to Hebrews chapter 10. Follow along as Tom reads verses 7 through 22. Hebrews 10, 7 through 22.
Good morning and welcome, everybody. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do what thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure herein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do the will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by which we will... Well, we are sacrificed to the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he has said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And their sins and iniquities I remember no more. Now where remission is of these, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, which is to say, his flesh. And having the highest priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for reading that, Tom. Let's remain standing as Children's Church is dismissed at this time, and we sing Near to the Heart of God, number 510.
Oh,
You may be seated. We don't have a specific text that we'll be in today. Various Bible passages is what we'll be looking at today. And I titled this Matters of the Heart. It'll be kind of a heart-to-heart talk today. In Sunday school, in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6 of Matthew, the sixth chapter of Matthew, we read this morning, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's pretty obvious it's a figure of speech. It's not our physical organ that pumps blood. And I've thought about that in the Bible. That doesn't show up translated heart. Our life comes not through the physical heart that we have in our chest, but by the hand of God. He gives us life and breath and all things. So technically, our breath gives oxygen to our blood, and of course the heart moves that around through the body. It's a system that each is interdependent, and yet the heart itself is not what's in view. In the Bible, when we read heart, it has to do with our inner being, who we are. I'd like to read a few verses out of Proverbs chapter 4 as we begin, so you can go to that passage with me in Proverbs chapter 4. I'll read verses 20 through 23 when I get there. Proverbs chapter 4, starting at verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Heavenly Father, as we consider this subject today, Lord God, I ask you that the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, that your word would be used by you to make a difference in the way we think, the way we act, what we say, in everything that we do, even our thoughts. Oh, Father God, I ask you that you would give us pure hearts as we sing and as we consider this. Our inner being, the seat of our emotions and intellect, our heart, is that which needs to be guarded and kept. And Father God, we ask you for your help to do that in a world that is certainly opposed to these truths. Father, give us your strength and add to our knowledge. Help us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The human heart, the physical heart, is an amazing organ. Not very long ago, just a couple months ago, I had to go in to ER and have some work done on his heart. And praise God you're here today. We're glad for that. A few years ago, in the back, had open heart surgery. How many times? Just once, okay? Several of us have had open heart surgery, and I say it's rough on a person. I would never wish it on anyone. I'm glad for the heart that is working right now inside my chest. And I could ask for a show of hands how many have had procedures done on their physical hearts. But let me just say this. The Arkansas Health Hospital gives amazing facts about our heart. Your heart beats 100,000 times a day. 35 million times a year. Average lifetime, the human heart will beat more than 3 billion times. The adult heart pumps 5 quarts of blood each minute through the body, adding up to approximately 2,000 gallons of blood each day. During your lifetime, it will pump about 800 million pints of blood, or about 1 million barrels That's enough to fill more than 3 super tankers. Blood takes about 20 seconds to circulate throughout the entire vascular system. That fast, 20 seconds. A typical athlete's heart churns up to 8 gallons of blood per minute. Hold out your hand. Hold out your hand. Make a fist, okay? If you're a kid, your heart is about the size of your fist. And if you're an adult, it's about the size of 2 fists, okay? You can put your hands down now. Your body has about 5 liters or 6 quarts of blood circulating through the body 3 times every minute. In one day, the blood travels a total of 12,000 miles, which is roughly 4 times the distance across the United States from coast to coast. Your system of blood vessels, arteries, veins, capillaries is over 60,000 miles long. That's long enough to go around the world more than twice. An adult woman's heart weighs about 8 ounces, and a man's heart weighs about 10 ounces. So there it is, the fact, you guys. We have bigger hearts, don't we? Okay. The aorta, the largest artery in the body, is almost the diameter of a garden hose. Capillaries, on the other hand, are so small that it takes 10 of them to equal the thickness of 1 human hair. They're that fine. Incredible. You know, we can only laugh at the absurdity of the theory that it all just happened by chance over millions of years of survival of the fittest through countless mutations. I know you can hear it in my voice. It's absurd. God is the infinitely perfect designer. Evolution is just, it's laughable, if you will, but it takes blind faith to believe that evolution is the result, or we're the result of evolution. It takes lots of blind faith. Back when I had open heart surgery 6 years ago, I had 5 bypasses done. That's where they actually take the heart out and work on the backside of it also. It's called a cabbage patch. So I'm a cabbage patch kid, I guess. My cardiologist told us there are 2 distinct categories, if you will, of heart disease. They fall into 2 categories. One is modifiable. The other is non-modifiable. Modifiable heart disease is simply summed up like this. If you're a smoker and you have heart trouble, quit smoking. If you're obese and have heart trouble, lose weight. If you're an alcoholic, stop drinking. If you're lazy, become active. So you get the idea. That's a modifiable heart disease. How about high cholesterol? We'll take measures to lower it. And we really should. We ought to take care of that. God has. We ought to, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in us, and we should take care of what God has given us. That's modifiable, and I think you all understand that. What's non-modifiable heart disease? That is what they told me. It wasn't my cholesterol, because it's always been on the low side. It wasn't my aerobic health. That wasn't the issue. Well, non-modifiable has to do with age. The older we get, the higher our risk is, and we can't do anything about that, I guess. We get older. There's not a fountain of youth down in Florida to stop that. It just, age is one of those factors. Men are higher at risk than women, and we can't do anything about that. As much as the transgenders may wish you to think that that can change, I'd say, by the way, this is what I just said is a heart issue. It really is. I might touch on that again. The one that they deemed my non-modifiable heart problem or issues to is heredity. And we can choose our friends, but we can't choose our parents. That's just the way it is. And our grandparents and our aunts and uncles. I have a nephew, Adam, and it was a delight back when he was about an eight-year-old boy to see Adam trust Jesus Christ as his Savior and get a new spiritual heart. But Adam has been an athlete. He was working out in a gym in his early 30s, and he hit the deck. And by God's grace, there was also a cardiologist in the gym at the time and went and checked him, and he had had a heart attack and was flatlined. It's heredity. Adam and I have some things in common. Adam, by God's grace, is still physically living, but because he trusted Christ as his Savior as an eight-year-old boy or so, I don't remember the exact age he was. If he had not survived that, if that cardiologist had not been in the gym that day, well, he'd be more alive than ever because he'd be with his Lord in heaven. Sadly, we have heard some Christians say to some people like us that have heart issues, I mean physical heart problems, Christian cliches, I call them Christian cliches, such as, aha, what did you do wrong? Have you heard that kind of thing? How about this one? What is God trying to teach you? Well, those kinds of statements are hurtful. And several times in the Bible, we learn that physical problems in a person's life being allowed by God are not because of something they did or didn't do. That is just cruel. Don't fall into that. That would be a modifiable heart disease, if you will, if we're speaking of the spiritual heart. God has allowed some physical problems in people's lives to bring honor and glory to him. I'll just give you three quick examples. In John chapter 9, Jesus was asked, for what cause was this young man born blind? Did his parents sin or did he? And Jesus said, neither, but for the glory of God. And Jesus healed him. That is why. It was not because that doesn't mean he wasn't a sinner, but it wasn't because of that. God said that. How about Paul with his physical thorn in the flesh, and it wasn't Shane. Shane and I tease that way, and I've said that a few times over the years. 2 Corinthians 12, no. Paul asked three times for that to be removed, and God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. It was to bring honor and glory to God. Paul had some sort of malady that made it difficult for him, but God chose to let him live with that rather than remove it for his glory. How about Job? In our Bible study with Tad and Carolyn, we're in the book of Job right now. Job chapters 1 and 2, was that about Job being a sinful man? No. God said of Job that he was an upright man and he eschewed evil and he did not sin with his mouth. He did not. That wasn't the point. The point of the book of Job was to bring honor and glory to God and to trust him more. And maybe a lesson for those of us who would be critical of someone that has a physical problem. Furthermore, it reveals a critical and proud spirit, which is a symptom of heart disease. The cardia is the Greek word, and you know what that sounds like. And the heart, the word, the Old Testament word, lab, and the New Testament word, cardia, are translated heart almost 800 times in the Bible. So it shows up a lot in the Old Testament and the New Testament. That Old Testament Hebrew word, lab, for example, is the most common, is, for example, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. This is what the Bible says. And God saw the wickedness of man's was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So the Bible addresses the spiritual heart, our inner being, more than it does our physical bodies. Of course, it's not wrong to take care of our physical bodies. However, it is not what is most important. The New Testament word cardia is also used in this way. Like in Hebrews 4, verse 12, where it says of the Word of God that it is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Can we follow our hearts, you guys? The world tells us, follow your heart. Think that through, really. Is our heart dependable? Or is this dependable? Of course, you know the answer coming from this pulpit. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It tricks us. We can't follow our feelings. We just can't. That doesn't mean feelings aren't real. Sure they are. And should we care? Yes, we should. But we can't follow our heart. The Bible use of heart is that seat of our thoughts and emotions. So, in a similar way with the physical heart, there are two basic categories of heart disease in the Bible. You know it. Non-modifiable is the first one. Romans 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ephesians 2, 1 says it this way, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Go to Proverbs 20. If you're in Proverbs 6, my Bible still is open there. Go to chapter 20, verse 9, and look at that. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. That's a rhetorical question. The answer is no one. We can't do that. It's non-modifiable. We're born with a non-modifiable heart disease, and that's called sin. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. I'm glad there is a solution to that. I'll get to that in just a few moments. This non-modifiable heart disease can be resolved only by receiving a new heart. Read transplant there, okay? We need, by birth, a transplant. 29th, 1973 is a special day for me. A few years ago, I took a picture as I was driving Highway 2, about 20 miles west of Kalispell. I pulled off Highway 2 and walked across the road, took a picture of a Doug fir stump that's about this big around. Juanetta knows it because I point at it every time we go past. That old Doug fir stump, when I was a 17-year-old, September 29th, 1973, I had gotten together with some buddies, and we found some hard liquor. I don't remember who did. And we all drank too much, including me, of course. But I was driving, and on the way home, I didn't think that I had any effect from that, but I passed out. And I went off of Highway 2. I went down in the ditch on the north side of Highway 2, only by the tracks in the snow could I tell what happened as I put evidence together in the days ahead, because I don't remember any of it to this day. I went out of that ditch up over Highway 2, and there was no oncoming traffic, praise God. And I went down in the ditch on the south side of the highway and ended my journey against this big Doug fir stump and bent the steering wheel with my forehead. I'm ashamed of that stuff. I had a diseased heart that was non-modifiable unless I got a heart transplant. The next day, when I was aware of what took place, I went and talked with a friend, and John really did befriend me. I know that I was not reciprocal at the time, but he cared about my eternal heart, and he shared with me, here we go, Romans 10, verse 9. And 10, which say, if thou shalt believe, just a moment, now I lost that. I'm only remembering the second part of it. That is odd that sometimes there's a glitch. Don't worry about that. Maybe God wants me to actually read it for you so you understand I'm not misquoting it. This is what it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. I knelt beside my dad, and I confessed my sin to God. And I believed in my heart that night that Jesus Christ is Lord, is God, and that he is the one who paid the penalty, the price for my diseased heart on Calvary's cross. And that, yes, he was buried and rose again, and I don't remember how I put my prayer together, but I told God I was sorry. I told him that I believe that Jesus, as God, died for my sins and rose again, and I asked God to save me that night, and he gave me a heart transplant. God for that. Now I have eternal life. I am saved from the consequence of my non-modifiable heart disease, if you will. That was my spiritual heart transplant back in the day. God's prophet Ezekiel spoke many times of a new heart. Here is an example. While we're here, I guess, in Proverbs, let's go to Ezekiel. Everybody turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm going to read out of Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31, which says, "Cast away from you all your transgressions." So there it's implied. We all sin. Transgression is another word about sin. "Whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit." Jesus offered to Nicodemus that new birth, and Nicodemus finally did receive it. If you're in Ezekiel, go to chapter 36 and start with me at verse 24. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. "For I will take you from among the heathen." God is promising the Israelites this in the future. But we're talking about the heart here today. "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land." That hasn't taken place yet, but it will. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you." This is a figure of speech about saving their souls. "And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A," what's it say? "New heart also will I give you." We can't do it ourselves. It takes the master cardiologist to do that work, the heart surgeon God. "And a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh." That would be a way of saying the earthly heart that we are born with. "And I will give you a heart of flesh, one that works spiritually forever. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." Verse 28 says, "And ye shall dwell in the land, and I will give your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." I'm afraid that many Christians deal, though, And let me say it this way. If you are not a Christian yet, you still have that stony heart. You need a heart transplant, and only God can do it. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today, and he'll give you a new heart. You'll get a heart transplant that changes your life for now and forever. Now let me talk to the Christians here that have already received that. I'm afraid that many Christians deal with modifiable heart disease. We dealt with the non-modifiable, it takes a heart transplant from God. The modifiable heart disease. Well, writing to Christians, Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians 2:14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." That's just one example. All too many have modifiable heart disease, like murmurings and grumbling and complaining and disputings about every detail in church or any dispute they come up with. And how this should be done or that should be done, that is a sample, a brief sample of modifiable heart disease. Paul warned the believers in Philippi that they should modify or eliminate those from their lives so that they don't have that corrupting heart disease. We're to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth, right, Ken? Thank you for that today. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, now in the New Testament. I'm going to move that. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 in the New Testament. I'll read verses 17 through 32. Just bear with me, please. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. That's a way of saying unbelievers. In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They still have that old stony heart that they need a heart transplant. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye, I underlined that in my Bible, but ye is a way of saying, but you, Christian, have not so learned Christ. Christ is above that, and you can follow him. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or manner or the way we lived, the old man, put it off. The sign for behind us is obvious, this which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away all lying, that's a modifiable heart disease, speak every man the truth, that's the solution to it, with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, that's modifiable, and sin not. In other words, if you have anger issues, don't sin. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Take care of it. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't follow his ways. That's modifiable. Let him that stole steal no more. I think you get the idea. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Here's a list of modifiable heart diseases, folks. But that which is good, used to the edifying or building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. If you exercise modifiable heart disease, it grieves God. Verse 31, let all bitterness, there's another one, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away from you and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're to put off deceitful lusts, the devil's ways, bitterness, lying, stealing, clamor, anger, corrupt communication. If you have trouble with lying or malice or anger or anything else listed there, you should view it as modifiable heart disease. And that can, you know, modifiable heart disease can cripple or kill. It can, if it's not taken care of. Physically and spiritually. I hope you understand that they both apply. Like the physical problems that lead to heart disease, if you're obese, lose weight, or whatever, alcohol, quit drinking, spiritually we must change our behavior to modify and solve the problem. That's the point of all of this, yes? If you don't, there are consequences. Some people have a heart attack. Some people have strokes. Some people have all kinds of problems because they don't take care of the physical heart, and that's not nearly as important as our spiritual heart. And there are consequences to the modifiable heart disease as well. Yes, there are consequences. I do not want any heart disease in our church family. I love our church family. You know, there's an old saying, sin takes you farther than you want to go. It lasts longer than you want it to last, and it costs you more than you want to pay. Let's not make excuses here either. Because, for example, Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can do this. You can correct behavior that is modifiable heart disease, if you will. Here is what 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but there is profit in it. I'm going to add that. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the new, of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Here's what Peter wrote, 1 Peter 1, verse 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us, all of us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's what God wants for us. It's according to his power. He has given us all things that pertain to life now, eternal life in the future, and godliness and godly living. Now, there are many symptoms of spiritual heart disease mentioned in the Bible, and we've just looked at some. I have been told by a pastor friend of mine who had a family member just go through open heart surgery that depression follows surgery and open heart surgery and is very common for a few weeks following that. And I went 6 years ago, tried to be prepared for that, and it really didn't take hold. But this believer, he said, well, it was very serious. He knew he was going to die. His thoughts were all morbid. And last week we talked about depression. That's a modifiable heart disease, if you will. Spiritually, even if it's caused in part by physical trauma, there is a solution to depression. That man's family read promises from God out of the Bible to him, and it helped him. But depression isn't the only one. Guilt is a modifiable heart disease. Anger certainly is modifiable. I'll admit I have anger issues, but trusting God that the Holy Spirit will control that in me. My wife, my sweetheart, once told me, I hope you lose your temper and never find it again. I love you, Juanetta. Thanks. You help. Greed, covetousness, bitterness, an unforgiving spirit. The truth is, all of these can happen to anyone, but it's modifiable. It doesn't have to stay there. You don't have to live there. God doesn't want you to live there. As I considered this subject, and I'm coming to an end here, I thought I noticed something. Now you know a little bit what I do in my study. I read a few verses from Proverbs 4 just a little bit ago to start. And we just read Ephesians chapter 4. And in Genesis chapter 4, Cain murdered Abel. That was a heart issue. In Exodus chapter 4, Moses agreed to follow God. And I was thinking, maybe the number 4 is the heart number. According to numerology, is that is significant? No, it's not. There weren't even chapters in the Bible when it was written, so it can't be. It's impossible. Don't fall for that kind of stuff, by the way. People maybe waste their time trying to figure out numbers having meanings and all of that. Biblically, if God means it, he'll tell you, okay? If I wasted my time on that, I guess it could become a heart issue, couldn't it? What I really want to draw out of this is to biblically solve or give some tools to solve modifiable spiritual heart diseases. So to be sure, Ephesians chapter 4 has already given us some of those solutions to put off or get rid of those old ways, the ways of the world, how it attracted us before, and put on the new ways that come with a new heart. Tell the truth, be kind, be tender-hearted, and so on. Feed the new from the Word of God and starve the old. Make the new man stronger and stronger. Do cardio rehab, okay? Some of us have done that, and it does help physically, but I trust we're all doing that spiritually. A Christian man, an Alaska native, described it this way. Of course, he was a musher. He had a dog team and all of that. He said, it's as if there are two dogs inside me and they're fighting. And the one I feed the most wins. He becomes stronger. The one I starve becomes weaker. I love that analogy. That's true. The problem with it, making analogies like that, is we can call the devil a dog, and that's not bad enough, but we don't dare call the Holy Spirit a dog. So it's not a perfect illustration, okay? But you get the idea. Starve the old man and feed the new through the Word of God. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4 and wrap it up there. So Proverbs chapter 4, nothing magical about the chapter number. Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll wrap it up here, okay? I'm going to start at verse 23, where we finished off. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That is a way of saying guard it, protect it. For out of it are the issues of life. The word issues could be translated wellsprings, the wellsprings of life. Verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth. That is crooked speech, by the way. That's what that means. And perverse or devious lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That follows, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Here are a few comments along the way. We are to put away crooked speech. That is a modifiable heart disease. It can be put away. It can be taken away. And perverse lips, or those who are deceitful words, to intent, purposefully deceive others. Don't do it. It's a modifiable heart disease. They're to be put away. Verse 25, let thine eyes look straight on. If you're looking in the wrong direction, look in the right direction. I think you understand the practical applications of that. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee, toward God, not toward the attractions of this world, whatever they may be. Ponder the path of thy feet. Are you walking with the Lord? Or are you walking the ways of the world? Think about that. Ponder that. These are modifiable heart issues. Keep thy heart with all diligence. And here he tells us how to keep it or how to guard it. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established for the Lord. Yes, we can. Every one of our ways can be in a godly direction, one that pleases God. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Don't get sidetracked in your walk with the Lord. Remove thy foot from evil. This could be a whole series, and I know that. I hope you get the point. God shows us the way. He has printed it out for us, the cardio rehab regimen. Will we follow it? Physically speaking, it was necessary for me to go to cardio rehab twice a week in Whitefish. Was necessary. Put me back on the right track physically. But we're talking about more important things than that here. I have a few more randomly selected out of hundreds of verses in the Bible. And jot them down if you want to. I'll go through them quickly. I'm aware of the time. They'll help you, and they'll help me with modifiable heart disease. Here is one out of Proverbs 44:21. You can jot that down. First thing is realize God already knows your heart. He already knows it. Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. You can't hide it from him. You need to know that. Proverbs 44:21. The next one is pray. Ask him to modify your heart. He can. Ask him and let him. Here's what, I'm sorry, I said Proverbs, didn't I? I apologize. Psalm 44:21. There aren't 44 Proverbs. There's 31. Anyway, Psalm 44:21 was the first one. God already knows your heart. Psalm 25, verse 17 says, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Ask God to bring you out of that. Psalm 25, 17. Proverbs 15:28. I have abbreviations, and I shouldn't do that. Maybe I should type out the whole word. I don't know. Proverbs 15:28 says, search his word. Here's what it says. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Have good, godly friends. Here's my list. God already knows your heart. You can't hide anything from him. Ask him to modify your heart. Search his word for clues to what his regime would be for us to modify our hearts. And then have good, godly friends. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. That's good. But a man of understanding will draw it out. Here's another one out of Luke chapter 6 in the New Testament. Do good out of your heart. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. The contrast is, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And the last one that I have just for now is love with a pure heart. Unwavering faith. Here's what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment, or the conclusion, if you will, of the commandment is charity, which is, of course, godly love, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. I want all of us to have healthy spiritual hearts. Do you need changes in your heart? How is your spiritual EKG? How's that? I hope we don't go from day to day and ignore all of this. This is really important. Do you need a transplant? Maybe in our time together just now, you've realized I have not really made that decision real between me and God, and I still have a heart issue that needs to be changed out by God. That stony heart taken out and a real heart put in. If that's the case for you, I beg you, I challenge you to talk with me. We need to talk. This is an important matter. You can have a heart transplant, and then you can work on making it stronger and taking care of modifiable heart disease, if you will. Do you need modifications to your lifestyle to maintain a healthy heart? As we close in prayer, I'm going to give you a moment of silence. Mean business with God. Heavenly Father, as these folks begin to pray right now, I ask you that you would do a work in our hearts, that anything that needs to be modified will be. And as I am silent, Father, I ask you that they would mean business with you. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you that you give us solution to life, spiritual, heart issues. May we make this personal and real between us and you. May we commit to you the keeping of our heart. May we do it with all diligence, knowing that out of it are the issues of life, now and forever. Father, I ask you that those who are making decisions will be honest with you and themselves. And Father God, I ask you that you would enable them to follow through. And Father, I ask you that if there's someone that needs a heart transplant, just that figure of speech, we understand it now. Lord God, I ask you that you would challenge them to talk with me and that we would make sure of that, that you would do a work in them and take that stony heart out and give them a new heart. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together, and I ask you that as we dismiss, no one would think in any way, because it is not my desire, Father God, to manipulate anything today, but that it would be a work of you in their lives, between them and you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I realize that I could have said some things and maybe had a show of hands or people come forward or whatever. And there is a time and a place for that. But in a subject like this, I don't want to be manipulative. And I think you folks understand that. I want it to be genuine between you and God. As we close, we'll sing a song. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. And we'll sing, Is Your All on the Altar, number 491. 491 while we're all standing, and then we're dismissed. Brenda.